I want to say good afternoon to everyone and thank you for your presence on this afternoon for another worship service that we offer to our Lord and Savior, God, and also for his sending of his Son, Jesus Christ, for our sins that we can find redemption in him through his blood. I want to thank Brother Daniels for the song, Live in Glory. That should be the hope of every Christian that one day when this life is over, that we are able to be with the Lord, having done those things that are consistent with his will. I want to thank Brother Cass for the prayer for myself and family and others. Thank Brother Thomas Kirby for his prayer also. For those who live according to God's will, Brother Stanley Brown for his reading of Scripture, and Brother Foreman, as he does so often, in leading us through communion and also through offering. And again, as always, Brother Tim leading us, facilitating the order of service. I want to just recognize those men who are as much a part of what is done this afternoon as myself in sharing the word. If you're on the call, and as Brother Kirby mentioned, if you're not a Christian, we want to let you know from the Bible that Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10:33, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So he realized that when it came to spirituality, it's not in man to direct himself. So Jesus identified the place where man needs to find that direction when he said during his Sermon on the Mountain in Matthew chapter 6 and the verses number 33, he said to all of them at that time, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that seeking became fruition in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, when the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and that the Lord added on that day 3,000 souls to the church, along with the apostles, he said, daily, such as to be saved. So those that are to be saved are added to the church. No one is saved outside of being added to the church. We have to be added. And then, as Jesus told them, and as Brother Brooks has shared on this morning, one first must obey the will of God, be taught the will of God, be added through their obedience to the church. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus made that statement to his apostles that you should go ye therefore, Matthew 28 and verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, teach them the gospel. And then if they understand it, he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. And then after that, what we're doing, me and Brother Brooks are combining on the afternoon my responsibility, as Jesus said, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He said, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. And so, amen. So this afternoon, we want to teach those things that we ought to observe from John's writing to those that were Christians. So, John, we're in 1 John chapter 2. We'll look at verse 15 and 16, where John writes to Christians concerning the desires that were in them from the world, and understanding that those desires are not from God the Father. So we want to look on this afternoon from the subject, from the text in verse 16, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And if I were to include that third area by which Satan attacks, is the pride of life. And so we'll look at that, look at a case study on this afternoon and try to strengthen us, fortify us with these areas, because these are the instruments. These are the tools that the devil uses to cause Christians to sin, and that can cause us to miss heaven. Note in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15, John writes, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So when we talk about love here, is when we have desires that are evil in regards to the world. And so we define the world as not as Jesus. The Bible tells us in John 3:16, well, God so loved the world, that world had to do with mankind. But this world that John writes about in verse 15, the world is the influence in behaviors, that which is harmful and bad. Those things that are in opposition to God and can cause the Christian to abandon Christ, as we talked about on last week regarding Demas in 1 Timothy 4:10, he had forsaken the Lord. So the world, because of the present world, so the world can cause us those things that John said that are in the world. And so I want to try to encourage us this afternoon how to identify those things that are in the world, and give a prescription from the Word of God. You know, it's one thing for someone to identify or diagnose the problem, but can someone give a prescription for that which is the problem? And so we want to look at the Word of God on this afternoon that we can look at. We talked about on last week those things of the world that Jesus identified in Luke 8:14, those things he talked about that can choke us, those things such as cares and pleasures and riches, this life that can cause us to leave the Lord. And so Jesus talked about, even though I have the word in Luke 8:14, he said, we heard the word. We can leave, go forth, and are choked by those things. And we talked to last week more so about what Jesus talked about, those things such as material things and money and pleasures. And so we want to focus on this afternoon what John continued in that writing in verse 16. He says, for all that is in the world, those things that can influence our behavior, those things that are in opposition to God that the devil uses, he says, the lust of the flesh, the lust and the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So John writes, again, my subject title is capturing that, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. And John said, understand this. When those desires come in us, they are not from God the Father, but they are from the world, and the devil uses those things. And so we begin with a definition of those. When we talk about the lust of the flesh, those are carnal desires. When I'm given to sinful pleasures of the body, we'll talk about that. Desires in me that are not consistent with the will of God, these are desires that my body has. And John identified them as desires or lusts of the flesh. And he also said that we can have desires or lusts of the eyes. Those are evil desires awakened through the appeal of objects of sight, something we see that we desire that is evil in nature. And then he talked about and the pride of life. The pride of life is when I have a feeling that I am more than God would have me to be, when I desire to want to be more than God would have me to be, and we'll see that in the text on this afternoon. That's the pride of life. And John said, this doesn't come from the Father. This comes from the world. So let's look first this morning here. Meet me in Genesis chapter 3. Let us look at the first case involving the temptation of, in this case, woman or man also. Can be both. But the first case when this happened, and as we can hopefully see from the Word of God, that we can be encouraged and be able to, the Bible talks about the schemes of the devil, how the devil uses schemes to trip us up. And we need to be able to identify those things that the devil uses to cause us to fall and not do that which is consistent with the will of God. Those things that Paul said when he talked to those in Ephesus, he called them the wiles or the schemes of the devil in Ephesians 6 and verse number 11. The devil has schemes. The devil has trickery. The devil has deceit. And we'll find from the Word of God, how do we address that? How do we deal with those schemes? Well, the first one we talked about in Genesis chapter 3 at verse number 4 concerning the devil or the serpent. The Bible says, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Because she had said in the previous verse, regarding the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. She changed some of the wording of God, but the devil took that and told her, you shall not surely die. And know what he does. He said, for God doeth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And so that's the first case when we want to be, again, more. What he looked at, he attacked her pride and wanting her to be more than what God would have her to be. And he tried to tempt her by saying, for God knoweth that in that day you shall be like a God, knowing good from evil. And so when you entertain those things, the Bible says in verse number 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. That's the lust of the flesh. Whenever, again, you desire something that God has not offered you to, and we'll talk about that a little clearer later on, but again, when you desire something that God does not want you to have, that's giving to the pleasures of the body. That's the lust of the flesh. Then the Bible says, and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Her eyes saw something that she desired. That object was a desire that was evil in nature because it was against what God wanted her to have. And then he says, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. Well, God had given her what wisdom he wanted her to have, but the devil used it that to elevate her wisdom. And again, it's when I want to be more than what God would have me to be, that becomes sinful. The Bible says she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. She gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And let me just bless us here by saying the serpent uses all three avenues or pathways given to him to tempt the woman to sin. And I want to say for those married couples, understand sometimes you have to help one another. Where one may be weak, the other can be stronger. When she brought that to her husband, her husband could have helped her by identifying the fact that what you are engaging in is wrong behavior, is sinful behavior, and no, I'm not going to participate in that behavior. I'm going to try to help you to overcome this fault. But what he did was he took of the fruit and he ate. So now both of them are in sin. And so we see that's how the devil attacks us. Where does the lust begin in the Christian? So let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And the verse is number 12. Romans 6. And the verse is number 12, where Paul said to them that were Christians, he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. And I say it again, that the body, those things that we have in us, we have, notice he said, don't let that sin reign in your body. What are you saying, Paul? Don't allow those desires that's not consistent with God have a controlling influence. That would reign mean to have a controlling influence in your body, that you obey those things that are in your body. Notice now, Jesus talked about this case, the point of lusting of the flesh and lusting of the eye that Paul identified in Matthew chapter 5, and the verse is number 27. Jesus identified this during his Sermon on the Mount, knowing that a man and woman will be challenged. Jesus said to them, you have heard, Matthew 5:27, that it had been said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And so what Jesus identifies here is this was mental adultery. They find in the gospel writing where they found a caught a woman in the act of adultery. That's physical adultery, but this is mental adultery where the act is committed in my mind. And so here we find that lust, by definition here, is a strong desire for that which is not permitted or allowed by God, is forbidden. When a man desires to have a sexual relationship with someone that is not his lawful wife, according to the Bible, that is adultery if he's married. And so what Jesus identified was both, notice he says, has committed adultery already with her in his heart. So Jesus captures the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. When I desire something that is in me, in my, and it influences me, as Paul said in Romans 6:12, I allow that sin to influence me, then what Jesus identified, you had already sinned in your heart. And as I said, a couple of sermons may have been ago, I want to help us to understand every desire that the body has must pass by or be filtered through the heart or mind. Every desire that the body has must pass by or be filtered through the heart or the mind. And as I said before, then the mind has to decide what to do with the impulse or the urge that the body has. The mind has to decide. Yeah. So it's a mind problem. It's a mental problem. It's a mental issue that the Christian has to overcome. And we'll see what is the answer. Well, one, the psalmist writer said in Psalm 101, 101st division, and the verse is number 3. David wrote, I was set. No wicked thing before my eyes. One of the ways we can address the lust of the eye is when we put things, and I want to say this again to our young people and even middle age and maybe even senior, be careful what you put before your eyes when you are watching programs that are rated such that it's not a proper rating for Christians. When you're watching R-rated programs, and sometimes even what they call now PG-14 or V-14 because of the violence of the nature, be careful that you don't put something before your eyes that's not godly. And I'll say this here. If you're watching something that your children can't watch, question yourself about what you're watching. And even young married couples, if you are watching things that would you invite the minister or would you invite the preacher to sit down and watch what you're watching? And if it's not wholesome, I'm saying to us, that leads us and understand we have those desires in our heart to satisfy those desires in our heart. And want to watch those things that are not appropriate. Those things are not consistent with the will of God. And young people, even at home, you can sin, even in your home, watching those things. David said, I was set no wicked, no bad, no evil, if it's not wholesome. I'm going to help myself by not setting it before my eyes. So what do I do, Brother Starr? Well, let's look at another case study involving Jesus dealing with these same challenges. Same challenges. Same ones. There's an answer from God. In Matthew chapter 4, or the previous chapter, the Bible says in verse number 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Some may say, what does the word tempted mean? Tempted is when the devil tries to cause someone to want to do something even though it is wrong, it is bad, it is unwise, and it is sinful. That's what the devil wants to do with Eve and Adam. The devil tempted them with something that was wrong, it was bad, it was not wise, and it was sinful, because sin is when we transgress the law of God. Whenever you do that which is not in the will of God, that's sinful, and that's the devil. And notice, I want you to understand, the devil plays no favorites, and he challenges anyone. Note what he did with Christ in verse number 2. And when he being Christ, had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. So the devil, looking at Christ, seeing that he had fasted for 40 days and for 40 nights, the Bible says, and when the tempter, verse 3, talking about the devil, came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. You hungry, you need food. Command these stones to satisfy yourself. But Jesus never used that which he had for himself. Even the time that he was on the cross, he never used those things for himself. But the Bible said, but he answered and said, and this is one of my favorite scriptures in the entire Bible, Matthew chapter 4, and the verse is number 4. Jesus' response was, it is written. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Deuteronomy 8:3. So Jesus realized, and we need to realize, that we don't live just by physical things, but the spiritual man lives by and is fed by the word of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if, prove yourself, thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Notice Christ's response to him. Verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again. It is written again. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil. So that's the lust of the eye. That's the pride of life. Even though he showed him something, he wanted Christ to elevate himself or use his power to help himself, which he would not do. So it's wanting him to show the pride of life. Show who you are. And then the Bible says again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him. He sees something. All the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, the lust of the eyes. He's trying now to attack Christ through one, the lust of flesh. That was successful. Then the pride of life, that was successful. His third avenue was the lust of the eyes. And Jesus responds to him in verse 10. He said, get thee hence, Satan. We have to learn how to move Satan away from us. The Bible again says, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only thou shalt thou serve. So again, we see that in all three cases, Christ used that which is written in the Bible on each temptation to successfully defeat the devil. We have to study the Word of God. We have to know Bible. Understand this here. The Word of God is what influences us to make those decisions that we make in our life. We need to have the Word of God in us. That's how we work against the devil. Notice what James says in James chapter 4, and the verse is number 7. James chapter 4, and the verse is number 7, James writes, submit yourselves therefore to God. Well, your submission actually is to the Word of God. He's saying, submit yourselves therefore to the Word of God. And when you submit to the Word of God, then he says, resist means to fight the devil with what? The Word of God. Yeah, that's how you fight. And he says, if you do that, the devil will flee just as he did with Christ. He fled from the Lord. You know, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6 and the verse is 17, he talks about and take on the helmet of salvation. And then he said, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The only offensive weapon the Lord gave us is the influence of the Holy Spirit, which gave the Word of God to men to pen for us. That's what we use in our fighting of the devil. When you don't have the Word of God in us, when we're not studied up, when we haven't prayed up, then when the devil, as he did with Adam and Eve, he attacked them. They were not successful. And sometimes, even with ourselves, when we don't have, and that's why John identifies the things that are in the world. There are things that are in the world. Those things that are in the world will cause us, can cause us to lose our soul. They can cause us to leave the Lord. And so that's why Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, and the verse is number 11, 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter tried to get close to those that were Christians when he said in 1 Peter 2:11, he said, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, he said, to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Peter identifies that, and notice now, this is something that I have to do. No one can do it from me. The word abstain means to keep oneself from the fleshly lust. It's my responsibility through the Word of God, by studying the Word of God, and making it an everyday thing, studying those blessed desires I have that I brought in with me from the world, even when I obeyed the Lord. Those temptations are still there. Whatever they may be, they're still present. And Peter says they war against the soul, or they cause spiritual struggle or conflict for the Christian. What? Those fleshly desires. And so, I want to encourage us. The answer is in Christ. The answer Jesus even gave it. Back in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gave the answer. Matthew 5. What do I do with those urges? What do I do with those impulses? What do I do with those desires that I have? Go back to Matthew chapter 5 and pick up at verse number 29. Matthew 5, 29. Jesus says here, and if thy right eye offend thee, Jesus said, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. See, we can give in to those things, and it can cost us our soul. Jesus said, the prescription is, whatever it is, all of us have desires in us that are not consistent, that are not permitted, not allowed, that are forbidden from the Word of God or by God. Jesus said, verse 30, and if thy right eye offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. So what Jesus was saying metaphorically, those things, those desires that we have to pluck them out, we have to cut them out, cut them off. Those things that we know, we all have them. I have them. You have them. We all have desires in us that Paul said, don't let those things find influence in your body, that you obey those things. Once you obey them, that's sinful. But also what John said, when you look in a way that is forbidding, that's also sinful. Sometimes we can harm a person in our heart, that is sinful. That is mental murder, where we want to hurt a person in our heart. If I had the opportunity to, and no one knew about it, I would cause harm to that person. That's still sinful. That's what John talked about, hating your brother, and knowing that when you have a heart such as that, I'm in 1 John 2 and 9, he that said he is in the light and hated his brother is in darkness even until now. When you have ill will toward someone and have hateness, malice toward an individual, the Bible says you are in darkness even at that point until you get it right. And it begins in the heart of a person. Sometimes we have to work on, sometimes we have what is referred to as heart problem. Your problem is in our problems in our heart. That's what we have to work on. How do I rid myself of that? It's through the Word of God. Jesus showed us how to do it. It's knowing what's in the Word of God. And so I want to close with that thought, that those things that Peter said are fleshly desires, those things war against your soul going to heaven. We got to overcome it. We got to fight it. We got to resist it through the Word of God. And if you're on the call this evening, this afternoon, and you're not a Christian, I know you have struggled with desires that have overtaken you. Well, the first thing you must do is become a child of God, that you can begin to be equipped with those things that allow you to fight those things. First, you must become a Christian. Brother Brooks shared this morning, we still, even though this was a message to Christians, it's also my responsibility to share with those that are not Christians how to become a Christian. Well, the same writer, John, shows us how in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to Christ by night, the Bible says, in John chapter 3, the Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered in verse 5 of John 3, saith, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. How did that become reality for Nicodemus? Well, in Acts chapter 2, Nicodemus had to be among those Pharisees. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter preached this message in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, and when Peter said, Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken it by wicked hands, have crucified and have slain. And so we know that Nicodemus had to be among this group because Paul Peter said, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pain of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding to it. And then that them hearing that in verse number 36, Peter said, Therefore let all the house of Israel, which Pharisee was a part of, know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And the Bible said, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? So at this point, if you're on the call this afternoon, you're not a Christian. You're like Nicodemus. You have to hear the gospel. That's Acts 2, verses 22 through 24. You hear that Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And what shall you do? You've heard the gospel. You believe the gospel. Then Peter says to them, they must repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. What is baptism for? It's for the remission or forgiveness of sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, or the gift of eternal life, having the Holy Ghost, the Spirit, to influence you in this life. And so Peter share that with them, and the Bible says in verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And that's when the Bible says that the Lord, in verse 47, added to the church daily such as should be saved. Those that believed on the Lord and obeyed the Lord and completed that their obedience through baptism, having done what the eunuch did in Acts 8:37, making the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then being water baptized for the remission of sin, then the Lord will add you to the church of Christ, Romans 16:16, the only church you can read about in the Bible, if you understand the Word of God. So we extend an invitation. If you've been invited on the call, get with the person that invites you to the call who can contact myself, Brother Brooks, and we can have you added to the church, have you added to the Lord by being water baptized for the forgiveness of all your sins. If there's someone that is subject to the invitation as we sing the invitation song, thank you very much for your listening on this afternoon.